thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
2012. I'm excited. I am glad. I am glad because it's not 2011. Now, I realize that some of you think 2011 was just a marvelous year. Martha and Jerry probably will say, oh, it's a wonderful year. Other engaged couples, wonderful year. Oh, never forget it. But it was a lousy year for me. And so I'm glad to have it in my rearview mirror, never to see it again. I'm glad that I'm still kicking after 2011. Got through the summer, and here we are, all of us share that in common today. We're still kicking. There will not be that second date on our tombstone, 2011. I can guarantee that. I am also glad because this is the year, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ at 10th and Broad, that we launch the Corner Ministry, 2012. Wow. Now, for those of you who don't know what the Corner is, the ministry will sort of be concentrated in a building that direction. That's why we call it the Corner, because it's on the corner. We are nothing if we're not creative. And I wrote this down, so I'll get it right. Give you our vision statement on that. Offering our community help, hope, and healing through education and training to improve life skills in an accepting, loving, and safe Christian environment. To put it another way, not a handout, but a hand up. In the name and in the power of Jesus Christ, and there's nobody else doing what we will be doing at the corner who can say that. Now, there will be others who will teach people how to get jobs and how to be a better husband and a better wife, how to be a better parent. There will be other people who will teach people how to get through grief and maybe even teach kids how to manage divorce in their family. There'll be others who will teach you how to spend your money and how to save your money and get out of debt, things like that. But nobody else, nobody else will say you do all of that with Christ at the center. And if Christ is not at the center, your efforts will be in vain. Nobody else will say that. Midwestern State University, Goodwill Industries, nobody will say what we will say at the corner. But I tell you what, it's been a long time coming. Like watching grass grow. I can't explain that. I can't even tell you when the vision was first uttered from this pulpit. It's been several years ago. I know we had some visitors from Houston, Texas that day. And bless her heart, one of the ladies wrote out a check for $25,000. That was the first money we really got. Not even from one of us, but she was excited about what we envisioned at the corner. And I thought many times since then, oh my, I hope she doesn't think that money is wasted money. Because I know that we're not seeing anything happening, and I'm sure she's not seeing anything happening. But, well, it wasn't wasted money. It's just taken us a long time. What do you say when things take a long time, a lot longer than the than you think they ought to take. Well, I tell you what a Christian says. It's God's timing. My timing is not God's timing. God will sometimes say, do it now. Sometimes God says, you need to wait. Sometimes he says, no, period. You need to go west and not east. We see that in Acts, don't we? But I believe we are hearing God say yes. We're getting such a response from our vision of the corner that I can't help but believe that God is saying yes, but you're going to do it in my time. My time. And I tell you something else that's been going on at the corner during this time of watching grass grow. You know, when you watch grass grow, though you don't see it, something is going on. It's underneath, and it's very slow, but God is doing what only God can do, and it's happening all underneath. Something beautiful has been happening all during this waiting period, and we so easily miss God's work in the mundane, in the undramatic. We want drama. And God so often works so quietly and slowly, imperceptibly. The essence of Christianity is depicted in the corner. What do I mean by that? The three big words of Christianity. If you learn those three words, you have the essence of Christianity. Those words are redemption, renewal, sanctification. That's it. That's it. You need to know very little else. And that building out there, old, run-down building, we were in a hurry to get to it and buy it because we knew that a neighboring church wanted it. And what did they want it for? Bulldoze it. They wanted to park a few cars on that spot. I don't know when it was built. I guess back in the 20s. Run down. One day I saw, this is a true story. I was going out to my car. In broad daylight, I saw a skunk come right down the side of our building, right in front of then the Family Life Center, and go right across that space and hunker down in a hole underneath that building. I mean, by all rights, it ought to be torn down. But it wasn't torn down. What did we do? We bought it. We bought it. What is that? That's redemption. We weren't ready to give up on it. It was restored. I don't know how many men and women have been involved in the work on that building. I've done very little, but I know many of you have done a great deal. As you've torn down walls and carried out trash and old equipment and, oh my, what a mess. Old tile, old sheetrock, fill up trailers and take it to the dump. Restored. How many of you have seen it now? It's not even finished quite yet, but my, how many of you have seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen what's going on over there. Well, a few of you. Well, we need to show you what's been happening. Wow, you wouldn't recognize it. Beautiful. Restored. And another thing, what we have witnessed is that building being sanctified. What in the world does that mean? That's a word that's only used in a church. But boy, what a word. Made holy. Made holy. What does holy mean? We toss it around. What does it mean? Mean pure? No. Mean sinless? No. Mean perfect? No. What does holy mean? Devoted to the use of God. We've witnessed that. We have devoted that corner building and that corner area to the use of God. And it now has a new purpose. New purpose. This old building destined for destruction has a new purpose. You know what it was just before we bought it? A paint store. It was devoted to making paint by which old walls could be covered up. In other words, covering up the surface. But now, it's devoted to God and the Holy Spirit coming in, and from deep within, not changing superficial things, but changing everything from inside out. Now, did you realize you were watching all of that during this time? You thought you were just watching grass grow, didn't you? You thought folks were just killing time. What in the world are we doing? What's God doing? Is He against this? You were seeing the essence of Christianity. Now, one thing I want to hasten to add is, you see, that's a marvelous picture of what God does in us. This is, you talk about God's master plan, as I have for several weeks. That's a picture of God's master plan. It's what the Holy Spirit does, what He can do, what He wants to do in us. Paul in Ephesians 4. I wish I'd had it printed out on the screen. Joanne, I give you permission next time if you think something needs to be on the screen, go ahead and do it. I wish I'd done it because you won't bother to look it up in your Bible since I'm just passing through so quickly. But here's what Paul said. You were taught, talking now to new Christians, fairly new Christians. If you read a book in the Bible, a letter in the Bible, in the New Testament, you just can mark it down. Paul is writing to new Christians. I mean, they came from paganism and it hadn't been long. And when he says you were taught, he means when I was there not long ago, I taught you these things. So it hadn't been long. But he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being, it's an ongoing thing, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. But oh, I'm so glad the sentence doesn't end there. Because in verse 23, he goes on to say, to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. In Titus 3, verse 5, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Those of you who have worked at the corner or who have sacrificed to give to the corner, you've preached a mighty sermon. I hope you understand that. You've preached a mighty sermon, so much more powerful than any preacher could give. You've preached a sermon about hidden worth. It's so easy to overlook, not only in buildings, but more importantly in people, the innate value of that person. You don't see it. The edges are rough. But every person created by God is of incomprehensible value. You've been preaching that sermon. You've been preaching a sermon about possibilities and seeing through eyes of faith. You don't see through eyes of faith what exists. That's not faith. Anybody can do that. I can tell you what I see. I can tell you how they're dressed. I can tell you how a building looks. But you see, eyes of faith don't see what exists. Eyes of faith see what can be. We look at a person and we don't see what we see. We see what they will be able to become with God's Holy Spirit and some training in righteousness. Again, to borrow a phrase from Paul. Eyes of faith. Well, folks, I just simply want to say this morning, this is my first time to be able to say it in 2012. 2012 is going to be a year to be remembered. This is the year that we get started on one of the greatest enterprises that I know anything about, changing lives and ending generational cycles and showing people how they can live under the direction and the lordship of Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the year we invite the Spirit in to change lives. Really change lives. And may it begin with me. May it begin with me. Would you join me in prayer? Father, at the start of 2012, you've given us a brand new year. How grateful we are. Thank you, Father, for the victories of 2011, or for just helping us to survive 2011. And here we are at the edge of a new beginning. Father, we are mindful of something we felt moved, and we hope it was under your direction to begin this corner ministry. Father, we pray for a revival. We know with our short attention spans as people of the 21st century, it's hard to stay focused. We pray for heavenly reminders of the importance of what we are about to do. Father, we pray your touch of blessing. We pray for direction. We pray for wisdom. We pray that you will make the funds available, that we can do a first-class work, because it's a work in your name, and we want it to be first-class. Father, raise up people who will be excited and who will lead and be bold as we attempt to touch lives we're not reaching and touching now. People who appear to be so lost, so hopeless, so valueless. Father, as we attempt to get your Holy Spirit involved in their lives, we pray for your help humbly. We know we are nothing without you ourselves. And so we humbly reach out to others with the only saving power for any human life. Your power. Father, I want to thank you for the men and women of this church who have given. Thank you for the people outside of this church who have given great amount of money, great amounts of money. I want to thank you for the men and the women who have labored on Saturdays and through the week, given of themselves to do the grunt work, the hard work. Thank you for Jim and for Gene in a special way as they've led, and for Elmer as he does so much on a day-to-day basis, and for the committee that spends so much time in making decisions, hard decisions, and decisions that we just don't know because we're going into uncharted waters. Father, thank you for them who are willing and available. And now we just simply ask for your power as we move on from here. May you bless this work, and may it truly make a difference in many, many lives. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.